For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Tuesday morning. Yes, for some reason, even though I feel totally fine, my voice still stinks. Hopefully it gets a little bit better as the show goes on, as I continue to talk it out. But we've got a big one today, huge week in New York sports, and last night was just really, really disappointing and discouraging for me as a Knicks fan. And I really now, after defending them throughout the whole year and saying that let's see them when they get to the playoffs and let's see what team they can be, you know, after two games, I don't think they're going anywhere. If they get out of this series, they're going to get whacked by the Celtics, and it's amazing to me that the team that beat them up last night, and I understand that they came back and then the Schroeder three was the backbreaker, is the exact team that Tom Thibodeau would love to have. The team that's bruising, the team that's grabbing more rebounds, the team that's playing better defense. And he's got these guys, which is not the team that he likes to coach, watching a team that he would love to coach beating his team. And they still may beat the Pistons. I picked the Knicks in six, so I figured they'd lose a couple games. But the Pistons have been the better team for three, maybe seven quarters, at least six quarters in this series. And last night was annoying. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, G. And you know how in game one, Campaign came through?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically hit a couple huge three-pointers. And they won the game, really, because of the way that he played in the fourth quarter and the way that they played defense in the fourth quarter and the fact that the Detroit Pistons couldn't hold on to the basketball because of the intensity on defense. Well, you know, last night, Campaign was basically, you know, nailed to the bench. Didn't get a chance.
He got three fouls early. That's why.
Whatever. I mean, you know, still, you got to let the guy play. I mean, sooner or later, he's got to get out there, because I think what happened last night, if I put it in a little bit of a nutshell, Mikal Bridges had a chance to be a hero, and he missed four straight shots. Wide open, by the way. He could have hit one of those threes, two of those threes. The garden roof would have come off, and he didn't do it. So that's one culprit right there. The second culprit is, and I love him, and I think he's the heart and soul of the team, that happens to be Jalen Brunson. He turned into Carmelo Anthony last night. Like, give me the ball, get out of the way. I'm just going to stand here and I'm going to dribble it. I'm going to try to get a foul. And I love the guy. He's the heart and soul of this team. We haven't had a guy like him in a long time. So I'm just saying, it was a little bit selfish last night. And then the final thing I'm going to say is that, you know, and I know you're going to talk about Carl Anthony Towns, so I'll leave that one up to you. At the end of the game, what I saw body language wise from one Knicks player, I didn't like, and the reason I didn't like it is because he was frustrated that he never touched the ball, and you could see it, and he got his ass beat on defense, and he's supposed to be, you know, the defensive player in the league, according to him, and that is OG Anunoby. What I saw is a guy that was really frustrated that he never got a chance to touch the ball towards the end of the game. Like, he didn't get a chance to shoot a three. The ball kept going to Bridges, and Bridges kept missing. And then, of course, you have, you know, Jalen Brunson hoisting up a couple.
Yeah.
And I know he's trying to get penalty, you know, fouls and things of that nature to get to the foul line. I mean, there's a million things to look at. You know, not only that, but the discrepancy in free throws in the first half. I mean, it's obviously it's all there. But the Knicks had a chance to win the game and steal the game like they did in the second half, especially right. The fourth quarter in game one, and they couldn't do it.
No, and I know that you want to say, and have it in a nutshell, the Bridges shots go down. It's different. If Schroeder misses that three, it's different. But to me, it's the totality of the game. I mean, they just got beat. It's an all four quarters thing, and they had to storm back again. The Pistons this time didn't let it happen. They didn't let the game slip away. And I really do think, like, it's not just Jalen Brunson being selfish. I think that defensively, the Pistons did exactly what they wanted to do. And it was either like, all right, Jalen Brunson, you want to be the hero and have the ball every single possession? Like, we'll take that because we don't think that that's going to beat us. And also, you want to pass the ball to one guy, go ahead and pass it to Mikal Bridges because this guy's going to miss more shots than he makes. So, like, I'm not going to even get on Jalen Brunson for holding the ball. They couldn't do anything else because the Pistons were so good defensively. And it's just, like, some of these things, you know, that alley-oop to Durin, you know, late in the game from Cunningham. It's like stuff like that wouldn't have happened with last year's team. And at some point, I'll get over comparing it to last year's team. But, like, a breakdown like that and a turnover and a fast break the other way and a big dunk. Like, just stuff like that didn't happen. So, like, when you have a team that's got more effort on defense and is a better defensive team beating the Knicks in front of Tom Thibodeau, it's got to drive him crazy. And then, of course, instead of him coming out and taking any sort of personal responsibility about how this team is playing, he goes straight to the officials. Like, the officials would rather have, you know, Tobias Harris and the Pistons in the second round than the New York Knicks. Just shut up. No more excuses. Take the responsibility. This team has not played the way it needs to be the entire time. And the fact that Karl Anthony Towns is a, you know, he's an all-star starter. You know, he could be a top 10 player in the league when he's right, and he disappears in the fourth quarter. So you want to tell me that it's either on him or the fact that the Pistons outsmarted the Knicks and were doubling him all the time? Okay, then let's figure it out, because you can't have your star player who you pushed all your chips in the middle of the table for this guy. That's what this was. And you can't have him be a non-factor at all in the fourth quarter of this game. So, I mean, 10 points? God's sakes, man.
Well, you got to have the ball in your hands to be able to score. And if you're not getting the ball thrown to you, you know, there's
but
one guy.
But this is my point then. Like, this is my, so, all right, so then don't, it's not, like, I think we're looking at it different ways. I'm looking at this like Tom Thibodeau and the New York Knicks have not figured out how to make this team the best version of what it can be. And the Pistons have watched that, and J.B. Bickerstaff has watched this the entire season and knew how to take all things away from the Knicks to neutralize the talent disadvantage that they have. So this, to me, wasn't even so much like, oh, you know, Jalen Brunson's hogging the ball. It's the fact that the Pistons were like, all right, we'll double him. He's not going to get the ball. So then Tibbs has got to counter that and say, well, I got this, you know, 6'10" all-star. I got to find a way to get him the ball. So that's my problem with it. It's Jalen Brunson's not a ball hog. He's not an idiot out there. He just had no options because they were getting out coached and outplayed.
He also plays a lot of minutes, and you know, sometimes decision making wanes late in games when you are tired. And there's no question in my mind that he put forth a Herculean effort. I would say, I mean, he played his ass off, and he plays hard, and he gets banged around, and you know, for his size. For the amount of points that he scores within the paint over guys that are bigger than him, it really is quite amazing. But again, last night I saw a lot of him holding on to the ball, a lot of frustration from the guys that he was playing with. Maybe not Mikal Bridges, because Mikal Bridges had ample opportunity to be the hero last night. Ample opportunity.
But I don't want him to be the guy to be the hero.
I know that, but the ball ends up in his hands, and I think you're
strategically.
Right. Strategically. I think you're right about that. But, you know, so the team has got to realize that. But, you know, that's like one of the hardest things I would imagine for a coach to do in the NBA is to sit there, because they want guys to shoot threes. They want them to shoot threes. But to sit there and say, hey, listen, man, you don't have it tonight, so don't be shooting any threes. you know, they're giving you wide open shots. The coach is not going to say that. The coach is going to say, Mikal Bridges, you've been in this league for what, 7-8 years? You've never missed a game. And here's the deal. You're out there. You were brought here for this reason, and he could have been the star last night.
Yeah.
And he could have been the campaign of the first game. Could have been that guy last night.
I mean, this was, it's just, it's looking in the mirror at what the Knicks were, you know, prior to acquiring Mikal Bridges and Karl-Anthony Towns. You know, a team that wasn't as talented as everybody else, but outworked them, was tougher, got more rebounds. And now, you know, one of the guys they've sat on all those first-round picks and then they traded for Mikal Bridges is missing shots all over the place. I mean, it's just like, it really, I just have a bad feeling about all of it.
Just remember, this is the guy that was, you know, I don't say he was complaining, but he did bring up playing time. You know, I don't know why he brought up playing time, you know, about a
month
ago.
There's been, you know, and BT said this early on in the season, and I let it play out. I never really necessarily disagree with him, but there's just been something off with them the entire year. And, you know, while he said it going into this year, if they lose the Pistons, there's something serious going on in that locker room. From Josh Hart talking about them being selfish to, you know, Mikal Bridges talking about playing time to some of the other. It's just been weird. It's been off and it's been weird. And one thing that if I were Tom Thibodeau and I would talk to Jalen Brunson after last night. And like I said, I do think that the Pistons, there's a lot of credit to be given there. But this is what Tibbs needs to figure out himself. So, and I'm not comparing the Knicks to the Dynasty Warriors. I'm just using this example. So, Steph Curry used to play basketball one way before Kevin Durant got there. That worked. It worked. They won championships, right? So then Kevin Durant gets there, and he takes on a different role. And they were better. And they won back-to-back championships, and he was the MVP.
That's what great point guards do.
Right. So, Jalen Brunson, I don't think, with Tom Thibodeau, these two guys combined have figured out a way to give him the best role to make this group better. He's got talent all over the place. You know, he doesn't have Alec Burks out there anymore or Julius Randle who goes blind in the postseason. He doesn't have those guys anymore. He's got real players. So let's figure out a way so it's not just you every single time. And outsmart them. Be the better coach. Be the smarter team. And they just, and the Pistons, man, I just, like, I'm jealous of them because they're out there just banging bodies and grabbing rebounds, and Jalen Duren's out there flexing. I'm like, these guys are kicking the crap out of us.
Yeah, but I also got to say, though,
not
that
any good.
These two games have been throwback games, which I love. I love the fact that, you know, guys are getting thrown around, guys are on the ground, guys are getting pushed, guys are in the air coming down on their shoulders, on their back. I mean, it's almost like a hockey game. He showed up.
That used to play into the Knicks' hands for years.
But now they're the more talented team in this situation. They supposedly have the best player on the court, and that best player is supposed to be Karl-Anthony Towns. So when you sit here and you tell me that Karl-Anthony Towns has 10 points in a game, and his team is losing. But again, like, he didn't get a lot of opportunity late in this game.
Well, yeah, right. So
like, who got the opportunities under 5 minutes in this game?
Well, yeah, I mean, Jalen Brunson and Mikal Bridges. I mean, those were the guys.
That's why, to me, OG Anunoby, man, I saw a guy that was pissed.
Well, I would be too.
He may not say anything, but I could just tell by the body language watching him that he was either pissed or frustrated. I don't know how to describe what I saw last night, and they took the cameras off of him. It was like under 2 minutes to go, and you could see there was a missed shot, and you could just see his body language, like, what the F are we doing?
Yeah, and another thing that Tibbs said after the game that just drove me nuts, and I've always liked this guy, and I know, you know, anytime you have a strong opinion on somebody, everybody forgets all the good things you said about him, but there's two things that really alarmed me last night. One was the blaming the officials as much as he did. I mean, you serious? You guys are the 3 seed, they're the 6 seed, they haven't been in the playoffs in forever. They had a 15-game losing streak in the postseason. It was the longest ever. You're way more talented than them. You're going to sit there and blame the officials. There's so many things that you guys did wrong. And the other thing was, how come Karl-Anthony Towns didn't get the ball enough in the fourth quarter? Oh, you know, they were, you know, they're doubling them, and, you know, they were getting two guys there. It's tough to get them the ball. Okay, so let's see. Nikola Jokic, did people double him? Oh, yeah, he somehow gets the ball in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
I mean, they're the best players in the league that Karl-Anthony Towns is supposed to be. The coach either designed something for them to get open, or the ball ends up in another guy's hands who can actually make a goddamn shot.
So you have to figure that out. Don't just tell me they were doubling them. Okay, great. They were doubling them, and then here's Mikal Bridges with an open shot. He's bricking it all over the place. Figure out a better way to get the ball in the hoop, for God's sakes. Stop making excuses about it. And if they lose this series, that is pathetic. It's pathetic if they lose this series.
You know, it's amazing. There are two teams in the Garden. One was a President's Trophy winner last year, and this year they didn't make the playoffs, and it was a complete and utter disgrace with the way that they played and the way that they finished up the season. And number two, this team was supposed to have the real, true expectations attached to it.
Yep.
And the expectations, and we talked about it throughout the entire season. When they played bad teams and they won, everybody talked about how great it was, how there was ball movement, good solid defense. But when they played a team that challenged them and they lost, you know, oh, we got to work more. We got to get on the same page. We got to improve things. And I feel like we're kind of in that same situation. I don't think they're going to lose the series. I really don't. I think because now this is a little bit of a wake-up call. And, you know, sometimes losing a game isn't the worst situation that could happen to you. I think that I love what the Pistons are doing and how they're doing it. They are the 90s Knicks right now. Like,
right.
They're devoid of, like, top-end great talent with maybe the exception, you know, of Cade Cunningham. The other guys are good NBA players. But Bickerstaff has got them, like razor's edge right now.
Well, I mean, the other
and
thing...
And the other thing I would just say is I also see the frustration from Detroit's standpoint when they're dealing with Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson probably, if I had to count last night, would you say 15 times he was on the ground on his back?
Oh, you're trying to take charges, you're saying?
I mean, everything, whether it be charges or try, you know,
well, it's
a little
part
bump,
of his game,
you know,
though.
I mean, I know. I'm not saying it's not. And I like that part of his game because that's the Walt Frazier part of his game.
Yeah.
I'm going to get free throws here, you know, because somebody on the other team, you know, did a stupid thing late in the game and fouled him, as I think it was Tobias Harris fouled him and put him on the line for three, made two out of three. But the point being, is that I can see it from the other side as well, watching the way that Jalen plays.
It, sure, and that's been something. He also, you know, was not getting as many calls as other guys, so he started flopping a little bit more to get some more calls. So, I mean, I understand it from that perspective. It also, you know, another thing about Cade Cunningham, this guy is a young player, hadn't been in the postseason before, and essentially has, you know, walked into the Garden and looked like the best player in the series.
He didn't have the greatest game in game one. Yesterday was a great game. Yesterday he like took over the game. Said, "I'm taking
it's
over
this
game."
It's not supposed to happen. It's not supposed to happen.
Well, OG Anunoby's supposed to stop him because according to OG Anunoby, he's the defensive player of the year. So you know, defensive player of the year has got to play better. I think he won the first game. OG did. Cade came back and won the second game between those two guys. I would also say there's another guy that kind of disappeared last night. And that was another heart and soul guy, a guy that we appreciated last year, a guy that, you know, had one of those games where he just was a little off, and that was our man Josh Hart.
Yeah, I mean.
He was off.
Yeah, I mean, the whole team has just never felt like they have been firing on all cylinders long enough to believe in them. So, I mean, I'll stick with the Knicks and six, and I thought they'd lose some games just the way that it's happening.
Let me ask you a question. If you expected them to lose games.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm disappointed this morning, and I could go down the roster and we can parse through every player's performance last night. We know who played poorly. We know that there was a little bit of selfishness. I saw some frustration. It could be anger. I'm not really sure what OG Anunoby's body language was telling me. I think he was a little disgusted that he didn't get a shot or didn't get an opportunity to at least get the ball to try to score late in the game. And I saw that, but I knew that this was going to, this is exactly a throwback to the 80s. That's what this is
now
it is.
Yeah, and I expected them to be physical. What I really don't like is them not being able to maximize their talent. I feel like they're being outcoached and the coach is giving a bunch of excuses, and I don't like that. That's what I don't like about it, because I'm projecting into the future beyond this series, and that is going to be a buzzsaw spot. They're going to have no chance. I'm sorry. No chance in a 7-game series with the Boston Celtics. And I'll see what Tibbs' excuses will come up for that with that one. I mean, they're all healthy, by the way. I mean, the team's healthy.
No, they are healthy. Well, there's, there's no question about it. You don't want to hear it. There's no excuses in that regard, because that's not, you know, that was the case last year.
Yep.
I mean, that was, and it was easy to fall in love with the team that lost key pieces and still kept fighting and still kept, you know, pushing the envelope against the Indiana Pacers. But I just, hey, to me, it's pretty simple. Mikal Bridges makes 2 of 4 shots. He's the hero today. That was campaign in game one, and that was not Mikal's night last night. And then again, if you're 6'10", 7 foot center is not going to touch the ball late in the game, and he's only going to come away with 10 points, that means that I'm with you. I don't want to hear about double teams. I want to hear about getting him the ball and letting him do what he's supposed to be doing. Now, he missed a couple little bunnies last night.
Yeah, I mean, but still, this was the missing piece of that was going to put you over the top and make you a legitimate playoff contender. And then you just sit there and say, well, they were doubling them. We couldn't get him the ball. No, that's not how it works. The best players in the NBA are game planned against, and they still somehow come up with the stat line they're supposed to have. So it's either all on Karl-Anthony Towns, all on Tom Thibodeau, or somewhere in the middle. But that's completely unacceptable for a player like that with the money that he's making, coming to this franchise to be the missing piece to get them to compete with the Celtics. 10 points in a playoff game at home? It's just embarrassing.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network on this Tuesday morning after the Game 2 loss. Knicks and Pistons in a physical battle in the NBA postseason. Jerry is here with that and some baseball as well. What's up, Jerry?
Well, good morning. Brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So, yeah, the Knicks claw back. The Knicks tie the game. But the Pistons with the biggest shot of the night in their Game 2 victory.
Schroeder's jumper. Kaboom! It's a three.
Ice water in his veins.
And that was Ian on TNT last night. Made it 97-94. You did not get the game-tying three from Mikal Bridges. And 194 would be the final as this series is even at 1-1. Schroeder scored 20 off the bench, 6 of 10. Not obviously the biggest shot of the night for him. And Cade Cunningham at 33 points, 12 rebounds. The rebounding margin, certainly a storyline. 48-34 of an advantage for Detroit, which was one of the things Tom Thibodeau did point out post-game.
The rebounding was problematic the whole night, so that was probably the difference in the game. You know, you got to get stops. I thought we had some good looks at threes, and we didn't make. So trust the pass, and, you know, but we got to rebound.
Yeah, well, they didn't do that.
I mean, Mikal Bridges, what, was 3 for 11 from three-point range?
Got to be better.
And, I mean, he had four straight three-pointers where he missed, and he was open at least on three of those, like where he didn't have to negotiate somebody with a hand in his face. And, you know, those are the shots. This is, what do you call the NBA?
Make or miss league.
That's right. And one guy made it, and the other guy missed a bunch.
Yep, no question. And then in terms of making and missing, here was Thibodeau one more time, upset that Detroit shot 34 free throws, the Knicks just 19.
Look, I really don't give a crap how they call the game as long as it's consistent on both sides. So if Cunningham's driving and there's marginal contact and he's getting to the line, then Jalen deserves to be getting to the line. It's really that simple.
Yeah, I mean, this is just makes him sound weak. You're getting beat physically this entire series. And we've been seeing Jalen Brunson not getting calls for a while, but I understand the free throw discrepancy was what it was in the first half. But they've got so many bigger problems and complaining about the officials right now. And the fact that he went in on it the way that he did last night just shows me that I mean, it actually makes me concerned about what he's watching out there.
Maybe. I don't think you're wrong in what you're saying, but as an impartial observer, I do think they do not get the benefit of the whistle like other teams do.
Yeah, well, I don't know about that.
Even the Josh Hart dunk, he gets almost undercut from it, and then there's nothing.
Anyway, well, there was an undercutting of, maybe it was Tobias Harris, I'm not sure. But when you have two guys that are attempting 45 shots.
Yeah.
Okay, and you look at Mikal Bridges and Jalen Brunson, they attempted 45 shots between the two of them. And you have OG Anunoby, 10 shots. Karl Anthony Towns, 11 shots, and Josh Hart, 6 shots. Now, I don't think Detroit respects Josh Hart's three-point shooting ability at all. And I don't think he wants to shoot it from three-point land, especially late in the game. He does not want the ball in his hands.
Yeah, I mean, he's more comfortable driving to the basket and sort of unencumbered at that point.
I mean, I can sit here and say that Mikal Bridges wants the ball and he wanted to shoot it, and it didn't go down for him. Josh Hart doesn't want that ball late in the game. He just doesn't, unless he's going to be driving to the basket.
I mean, even though he made a couple threes last night, missed more than he made, obviously a ton of them, but the only time I'm ever confident when Mikal Bridges goes up for a jumper is in that mid-range.
Mid-range. Area. He's all money at that point.
But every other shot he takes, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a brick.
Well, here was Bridges. Hurts to miss in that spot for sure.
I mean, you want to win the game, so you want to make that shot. It sucks, but there's nothing to do about it. You got to get ready for the next one.
And that next one will be in Detroit. And as Cunningham told TNT after the game, the place going to be rocking.
It's going to be crazy. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be rocking in there. And, you know, it's going to put a lot of energy into the team, and we're going to try to represent.
Nice job. Thanks for stopping.
Believe that.
They will believe it. Okay, that was believe their first that. Playoff. Yes.
No, he said believe that.
Believe that.
You know what I think? Exactly, I think, honestly, because the Knicks are the Knicks, it's New York. They made the trades in the offseason. They had that nice little run last year. You know, the hype around the Knicks is what's fueling the disdain from the other teams that they're playing against. I don't know. I don't necessarily know that I feel this like disdain for any other team in the league. Maybe when you're playing against LeBron and the Lakers, maybe.
Yeah.
I just feel like every team that wants to beat the Knicks wants to do it in their building, and wants to shut us up as Knicks fans.
Yeah, I mean, I think it also feels like that because we had an experience being a good team that people disliked for so long. So it's like a new feeling again. But, I mean, of course everybody wants to beat the Knicks. Of course they. I mean, what do you want them to do? Be like, hey, you know what? We're going to lose to anybody.
I just feel like this. It's a real... I feel like it's personal. I feel like it's personal against the Celtics. I feel like it's personal against Donovan Mitchell and the Cavaliers. It's personal here against the Detroit Pistons and Cade Cunningham. It's just there's an edge that the other team always seems to have.
Okay.
Well, your team had that edge last year.
Yeah, I know. But I think like the Knicks players, the incredible amount of pressure, and I'm sure the opposing coach says this to his team. If we go in there and we can keep it close and then all of a sudden battle into the fourth quarter, we can win this game in front of their fans. The amount of energy I'm sure that the Pistons had after the game last night in that locker room was like, and I'm sure Bickerstaff was like, I'm telling you, we can do this. We can beat this team.
Yeah, I mean, they did exactly what they needed to do, take one. They were close to taking two. So, yeah, they've been the better team in the series so far.
By the way, they beat them 3 out of 4 during the regular season.
Yep.
Game 3 Thursday night in Detroit. Clippers did beat the Nuggets 105-102. Kawhi Leonard at 39-18 for James Harden. All right, the baseball story, a good one for the Mets, not so much for the Yankees. And for the Mets, it started early as Francisco Lindor homered to lead off the first inning. His bigger home run came later on in the game.
0-1. That's swung on and driven in the air. Deep right center field. Stevenson to the wall. He looks up. Gone! Long gone! A 2-home-run night for Francisco Lindor. 3-run job to deep right center.
Yep, made it 5-0. That was Keith Radd on Mets Odyssey Radio. They would win 5-4 as Philly... A little bit of a comeback late, but not enough as the Mets go to 10-1 at home now on the season, 16-7 overall. Here was Lindor on SNY jumpstarting the team with these first ABs.
When I wasn't leading up and Nemo led up the game with home runs, or guys that were leading up led up the game with home run, it kind of set the tone, and everybody went out there believing that they could do the same thing. So I'm just... Hitting is contagious. I'm just trying to make sure I do a good job and pass the baton.
And yesterday we talked a lot about, you know, the crowd and Juan Soto and the way he was treated and so nice with the cheering. And then and Lindor talking about the crowds being great. Well, here was Jesse Winker. He also homered in this game. He was on Mets Odyssey Radio.
I mean, it's this fan base, man. It's coming in here and playing, and it's hard. It's hard, man. We have a packed house every night. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be a part of like a team like this in a city like this with this fan base, man. It's a really good time. They're carrying us, and we're going to need them all year.
Well, they've won 5 in a row overall. Edwin Diaz did get the save, though he gave up a big home run after Max Kranich was ineffective, as they say. But, again, Mets 16-7, Griffin Canning, Christopher Sanchez tonight. Last night, Tyler McGill was very good into the sixth inning for the win. As for the Yankees, a couple of big swings kind of did them in.
Definitely more confident.
0-1. Just pitch from Smith to Ramirez. Swing and a drive deep right field. Cleveland's got a 3-0 lead, everybody.
He's done it again. You got to be so careful with this guy. He's a Yankee killer. That was a shot.
And that was Dave Sims and Susan on the fan. And before you would sit back down as he trotted around the bases, the next batter was Kyle Manzardo.
Going deep right field.
Oh,
high drive. Back is Reyes. That is gone. Ramirez's 5th home run, Manzardo his 7th.
And that again, Dave Sims on the fan. And that kind of did the Yankees in. 6-4 would be the final score You had an RBI single in the sixth from Ramirez to add on to his home run. Gavin Williams, who threw a million pitches in the first inning but got through it, wound up going 6 1/3 for the win. Clark Schmidt gave up those two home runs that we just played for you. So what exactly happened?
The Ramirez one, you got to tip your cap on. Really good hitter. I was trying to go down and in with the slider and got to my area that I was trying to get to, and he put a good swing on it. So you tip your cap on that. And then beyond that, just I would say the walks are frustrating.
Yes, for sure. And a frustrating night overall as the Yankees fall to 14-9. Jazz Chisholm was playing Hyde from the broken bat, as he said he didn't want to get killed.
He said he saw people before get stabbed with broken bats.
I did hear that. He did homer in this game because he was on a really bad, really bad slump. And it was one of those things, too, where he hits a line drive into a double play where he hit the ball on the screws. But he did come back and maybe, we'll see, maybe break out of it a little bit. You got Will Warren, Tanner Bibee going tonight on the fan coverage.
Could you imagine? I'm sure, I'm sure they're going to show that in the dugout to the guys.
Oh, yeah.
They have to.
Absolutely.
I mean, because
he had no shame, though. Listen, I'm not getting killed out here. It's kind of funny.
I mean, you know, it's a little overreaction, don't you think? I'm not sitting here saying that it would be easy to stand there with that thing coming at you and trying to make a play. But it wasn't like the ball was hit that hard.
No.
No, but that's like a flying sword coming at you.
He didn't seem like he was in that much danger. It looked like that was a fear of his.
It didn't get that close.
I want to say that bat was at least 20 feet short of him.
It was. You're right. But it was coming right at him.
Yeah, you don't know how hard it. I know. I guess it's just a natural instinct to do that.
Well, also, he also could have been shielding himself from the ball, too, because the eyes go to the bat that's flying in the air. You know where the ball is. Get in the face. Trust me, I know about taking a ball to the face.
Yeah, I know you do.
No good. No good. New Giants quarterback Russell Wilson with the media yesterday and off to a nice start.
Dave's ran a great meeting today. Just, he introduced everybody and from the coaches to everybody else. Some of the new players as well. Obviously, me being one of them. And just to be able to go up there and just talk to the guys about, kind of where I come from and just my story a little bit and just the focus of it all and what we want to accomplish individually, but also this year.
Yep. It's all about my story.
Where I come from.
I'm sure Dexter Lawrence was loving listening to that. This guy ever going to shut up so I can go home? Nobody cares.
Oh, God. He's the leader, man.
Russell Wilson is not the leader.
Yes, he is.
Not the leader.
Yes, he is.
No.
He has to be.
He's never been. Everywhere he's gone. He's not.
I don't know, man. He's a quality player. And I know you feel like he's disingenuous, which is fine. That's the vibes he gives off. But you know what? I'm telling you that he has to be the leader. Okay. You have to be.
All right. Well, having to be and him being the leader are two different things.
You don't have to tell people that you're the leader. You just let your actions speak louder than your words.
Speaking of words, real quick, Darren Mooji also spoke. And
what did he say?
Not a lot. But in his 15 minutes, Brian Costello did ask him about the Aaron Rodgers comments. And if he wanted to clear it up or if what he was saying was true or not true, and this is the way Mooji responded.
I understand the question, and I addressed that at the combine, but today I just want to talk about the draft and Jets players.
You have any regrets from that meeting?
I understand the question, but I'm just going to talk about the draft and current Jets players.
And yeah, so it's time to move on, man. Yeah, move exactly. on. For Aaron Glenn and Darren Mooji, that meeting was probably sitting in their belly for a couple of weeks.
I don't know. I'm sure you didn't see this because it was during the day. It was like 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. But he was sitting down. He wasn't standing up. And he can't help himself. Instead of doing this, he was doing this.
He was using the table.
Oh,
yes.
No. It's like doing a three-card Monty thing.
Yes,
he was. Ah. It was actually pretty funny. So coming up next hour, we got a lot. Nico Harris spoke.
This guy.
That's bizarre. A message from Charles Barkley. The TNT guy screwed up pretty good. We'll get to that, too. Also, the Ageless Wonder with a big goal and more on the baseball in the Knicks.
Also, do you see Shaq have to run off the set because he was about to poop himself?
I was going to get to that, too, at some point. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, how do you get yourself too. In that situation?
It happens.
Honestly. Come on, Biggs. You've been there forever. You know when to go and when not to go.
Sometimes apparently, it just kind of comes up.
Apparently, he's been drinking olive oil, and that's the problem.
That's the new thing. Olive oil before bed.
Well, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah. Yeah, a couple of tablespoons before you go to sleep.
Okay. As opposed to the Johnny Walker Blue?
Yeah, I don't know that has the same effect on your liver.
Yeah.
take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on sports networks. Availability varies by zip code and package. New customers. Service renews monthly unless you cancel. Choice package required. Restrictions apply.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed, because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store, like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Game 2 last night, a disappointing loss.
Yeah, definitely a disappointing loss. And you and I were sitting here just talking about it for a second, saying, like, you know, the Knicks had two home games, and you should be feeding off the energy of the crowd, especially the Knick crowd, because it's one of the best crowds in all of the NBA, especially now because of what the Knicks and Leon Rose have been able to accomplish over the last few years, especially with retooling the roster and getting certain players in here and getting top-end players in here. And the fact that the Knicks never had a big lead in either one of these games is really is a telltale sign about how well or how poorly the Pistons are forcing the Knicks to play.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to put it, be forcing the Knicks to play that way. And that's what's frustrating to me about Tom Thibodeau with the excuses of, oh, there's a double team here, oh, that's the officials. You have to outsmart them. You have the ammo. You've got more ammo than them. They're just more strategic. And that has to change and change quick. 888-808-1019. Chuck is in Shoreham. What's going on, Chuck?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you taking the call.
Yes, sir. What do you got?
Gio, I think you're spot on with this. Tibbs got to change it up a little bit. I mean, can we give campaign a little bit more of a run? What about Achiuwa? I know he's a little rusty, but like, get these guys in. They change the pace of the game. Instead, the second half, it's rebound, give it to Brunson. He gets full court press. It's the same thing. Even last year, we saw the same thing. Hopefully Thursday, he can hopefully give Payne or a little bit of a run, open guys up, make it a little bit better so they can play a little more free. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with all that. I mean, campaign, you know, if he fouls out, he fouls out. but he initially went to the bench because he picked up the three quick fouls. But at that point, it's like, okay, if he fouls out, fine. But just get him out there on the court. He's a clutch three-point shooter. I'd rather have the ball in his hands and Mikal Bridges' hands late in the game. So, and you know, this is going to be, like, the Pistons, they do have, it's a, you know, it's a rough city in the sense of, like, you know, there's some hard-working blue-collar people out there. You know, they fought the players back in the day. Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be nuts, and they haven't had a playoff series in a very long time. That place is going to be crazy. So you got to kind of ward that off in the beginning, but
Do you see the Knicks being able to keep this thing close on Thursday night, or is there a point in this game in the first half where all of a sudden Detroit goes off and they have a 20-point lead in some way, shape, or form? Because to me, you know, it just seems like every Nick possession is
it's so hard.
Yes.
It shouldn't be that hard.
Well, I mean, it's got to be hard because the other team, you know, knows what it has to do in order to win.
Every possession. That's the thing. But, I mean, it's just they're working so goddamn hard.
Go back to the beginning when they acquired Karl Anthony Towns. What was the overriding thought process about him as a player and about what he is going to do to the Knicks?
Well, that he's super talented, but he's not a tough guy. He doesn't play great defense, and other players in the league seem to not respect him as much as some of the other guys.
I mean, and here we are. So here we are. We've enjoyed a great 51-win season. It told a lot of great stories. A lot of guys had really good years. But here we are now. This is where, and you and I think most of the guys on this radio station and most of the Knicks fans all said, you know, let's see what it looks like when we get to the NBA playoffs.
Right.
So let's see what this team is made of. Now, all right, it's one loss. It happens. You thought 4-2 Knicks. I think I said 4-1 Knicks.
Yeah, you said 5. Yeah.
So I, you know, but again, like last night, if Mikal Bridges knocks two of those four shots down, they're winning the game, and he's the hero.
Yeah, and Karl Anthony Towns, they showed it actually at the TNT halftime where he gets the ball down low. I think Tobias Harris was guarding him, so, you know, he has the height advantage. He's backing him down. You know, turns around, and then that little hook shot that he has goes in, and he's, you know, he's got that attitude at that point. Then, like, I want to see that in the fourth quarter. That's what I want to see from him late in the game. You know, it's nice that you did in the second quarter, but I need more of that. I need to see that consistently. Give me the ball. I'm bigger than this guy, and I am going to win this battle. And it just doesn't happen enough. And, like, I don't know what that is, and it's hard for me to sit here because I'm me and never really excelled at any athletic achievement past being, like, in a high school athlete. So this is
where... But you're a fan, though.
No, but
fans know their teams better than sometimes the general managers
do. No, I'm right. But the thing I'm about to say, though, I think is more for an athlete to answer. It's like there is just this thing that you cannot describe that the most talented players don't always have. People say it's the it factor, it's this. But that thing, whatever it is, if it was like, if I could find it and implant it into Karl Anthony Towns, I would. And I just, like coaches probably shake him. People in his life are probably like, God damn it, man, get a little tougher.
Like the inner drive, the inner, like, well, Kobe called it the Mamba mentality.
Right.
And, you know, very few players have that. I think there are probably, you know, about 10 or so players in the NBA that possess that. I think, you know, Jalen Brunson does have that. I mean, he wants the ball. He wants to score. He wants to try to make it, you know, draw a foul, whatever you want to call it. He has it, but, you know, he is working. He played 44 minutes last night, and pretty much every possession he had the ball, there's a guy right in his face, and, you know, he's trying to run the pick and rolls and things of that nature. I mean, they're fighting over those pick and rolls, and they are right, they're on him. So that means every time he has the ball, he has an incredible amount of pressure around him.
Yep.
And that's where Mikal Bridges could have come in last night and been the hero and taken some of that pressure off by hitting those shots.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call, every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.